Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
On Sport, you may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever said you've got 20 that says Mo's going to take one in the eye from Curly, you're probably our kind of listener. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Hope you're having a great Friday as we send you off into the weekend. I'll be back with you guys Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, with Joe Pizzapia and Matt Stryker. Davis will keep you busy over at DailyRoto.com, help you win in DFS and season-long leagues as well. We're going to have chaos this weekend in Major League Baseball, every game on Sunday starting at 3 o'clock Eastern. So we are not going to know who's going to be in the postseason until late Sunday. That should be fun to discuss on Monday, along with, of course, our fantasy football recaps. Here are our highlights here on the first day of October 2021. Wow, we're here in October already. Okay. Yankees host the Rays this weekend. They can clinch the wild card if they beat Tampa Bay tonight. I am curious to see if Tampa Bay wants to fight this weekend against New York, or they're going to lay down. I don't know. Feels like they want the Yankees out. We'll see. Blue Jays host the Orioles. They're no pushover. They just beat the Red Sox. Red Sox are in Washington this weekend. Of course, the Nationals are horrible. They're almost in last place in the NL East. College football, fifth-ranked Iowa on the road tonight against Maryland. So I wonder if this is a dangerous spot. And BYU travels to Utah State tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern. Utah State looked terrible last week. Oh, gosh, that was a horrible game against Boise State. One of my really bad picks last week. They're having a great picking season, by the way, for the Golden Nugget in the Super Contest. That was a terrible pick, though, by me. Okay, so Yankees right back in it. Aaron Judge right in the forefront, right in the center of attention. If he and the Yankees and Stanton and those guys get it done tonight, they're headed back to the postseason, and Judge says adversity has really been their key this year.
You know, this is a great ball club, and you know, we're the New York Yankees. You know, you can't ever forget that. You know, and you know, I think when you know we get down early or make an error on defense, you know, I think we just kind of all look around and look at each other and see who we have on this field and who we have on this in the dugout and the bench and say, hey, you know what? That this one little blunder, this one inning, isn't going to define this game or this season. So let's you know go out there and do our thing.
You know, it's funny, Davis, you know, the Yankees for me would be one of those teams that I would think that you would never be bullish on just because they're like the team that spends the money and, you know, they don't do things, you know, creatively. It's just keep spending. But to your credit, you have been bullish on them all season long, just kind of waiting. I don't know. Eventually, in the end, the Yankees are going to get there. My guess is they're going to make it right by Sunday. Like, I don't think it's a matter of them. It's a matter of between now Boston, Seattle, and Toronto at this point, right?
What did I tell you? I said Judge and Stanton did not get hot at the same time all year. And when those guys got hot at the same time, it was going to be all over for everybody. And that's exactly what happened. Judge and Stanton are both now playing to the back of their baseball card. Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo were really good additions, though. I did see the other day, because, you know, I'm still playing DFS. God help me, still playing it. I saw that Brett Gardner led off the other day, and it blew my mind. I was just like, the Yankees are going to make the playoffs, and Brett Gardner is still prominently involved. I mean, that feels truly insane to me. But yeah, the Yankees are going to make it. You know, that is just what's going to happen.
Yeah, so Sunday, I mean, think about this, Davis, this weekend. Of course, we got college football Saturday, and some really good matchups, by the way. Interesting games. Arkansas, Georgia, I think, is one in particular. Some always good SEC matchups, too. Saturday night, Auburn, LSU. And then we get through Saturday, Davis. If you're a sports fan, I mean, is it going to be better than Sunday? 1 o'clock Eastern football games. Every baseball game starts at 3. Baseball's smart. They're like, we ain't going to bleep around with the 1 o'clock NFL games. Let's have these all end at the same time. So 6, 7 o'clock, we ain't going to even know who's even in the playoffs. And then just when we get done with our fantasy teams on Sunday and we get ready to take a breath, we got Brady's reunion Sunday night in New England. I mean, this Sunday has got to be one of the better days of the year.
It's gonna be phenomenal. I will be keeping an eye on the baseball games for sure. This Brady game, though, generally speaking, I keep my unit sizes the same for sports betting, and also most Sundays I care way more about fantasy football than who wins and loses games. Like, I kind of like even forget who wins and loses games. But for me, I placed a very large wager Sunday night when the lines came out on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to beat the New England Patriots by 6 points, because I knew that line was going to move. Right now, it's 7. It's going to get to 7.5. I bet by Sunday morning, you might even see, I would not be surprised to see a -9 on the FanDuel Sportsbook as like teaser protection. So I, which, by the way, it's like the squarest bet of the year. Like betting on the Buccaneers and the points. It is literally, this is the square. But you know what, though? I will say this. Once you get over a certain threshold of squareness, I actually find that like the true squarest bets of the year actually have a huge hit rate. It's the like 70-30 public to shark money, where I'm like, oh, the public loses that like 90% of the time. But when sportsbooks are taking like 98% of the money on the Buccaneers money line, I feel like the books get punished on those.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch the game. I don't know that I'll have a position on that one. I definitely do not as of yet. I just hope to enjoy that game. And I mean, I understand. Selfishly, I guess I'll hope that the game is tied and Brady leads the Bucs down to a winning touchdown. You win the money, we get a great game at the end of the game on Sunday. All right, so for DFS purposes, we're going to help you out next. Can you basically find any running back at this stage in fantasy to play that can cash in that are not named Derrick Henry? Jim Sanis joins us next on Sports Game. Break.
We're a different kind of sports talk. Not just talk about sports, but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. Keep it here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Test yourself. If you've ever bet your wife you can balance a park bench on your chin, you're probably our kind of listener. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Another week in the NFL gives us an opportunity to make some money over on FanDuel, and we're going to take a look at this slate this week with our good friend Jim Sanis, of course, of Number Fire and also FanDuel. Big week ahead, Jim. Looking forward to diving into the numbers, and good to see you. What is it looking like this week? You know, what does the slate look like? Do we have enough guys that we could choose from this week? Boy, a really dull early – great games, by the way, Jim, last week, but a really dull scoring in the first half of last week.
It was weird, Craig, because like I like having a tight core at running back, and I wound up being super tight last week where I basically just played four dudes, and it was one of those slates where it was pretty thin. Like, there weren't a lot of guys I was super itchy to use, and I feel like this week is going to wind up setting up pretty similarly, where there are some guys I can talk myself into, but like, I think we've got a good foundation for a core. I have a lot of question marks at quarterback this week, which is pretty abnormal for me, but I think that at least at running back, I think I know where I want to go. And to me, at least, that's always a comforting feeling. I don't want to be too spread out as far as where my exposure levels are.
All right, so let's dive in here a little bit and take a look at the slate this week. Jim will give you some good tips. We got the quarterback position. As always, Patrick Mahomes leads the way. He's at 8,700 this week, followed by Josh Allen, who is creeping up at 8,500 against Houston. Kyler Murray in the against the Rams, 8,200. We've got Lamar Jackson, questionable for the game, but we expect he will play against that tough defense of the Broncos, 8,000 there. Jalen Hurts is 7,900. And then Matthew Stafford, 7,900. And just below that, we have Russell Wilson, who was okay last week, but, you know, obviously we expected a little bit more from him. So where are we going at quarterback this week?
I mean, it's hard to pass up Mahomes. I think that that's a really good spot for him. So I do like Patrick Mahomes a lot, but a couple of the guys I think are interesting, despite tough matchups, are Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott. Kyler's facing the Rams. We know that defense has a lot of dudes on it, a lot of scary dudes for sure. But I still think that Kyler, in a script where the Cardinals are probably to throw quite a bit, sets up pretty well. It is scary to face that Rams defense, but Kyler Murray, one of those guys who can beat you in multiple ways, can score points in multiple ways in DFS. That's a big thing for him. Dak Prescott facing the Panthers, they've looked amazing defensively so far this year, and I don't think that's fluky. I think they will continue to be really good, but did lose J.C. Horn this week. They added Henderson via the trade, but will he be active for his first week with this team? Not really sure there, and this Cowboys offense has proven themselves against tough defenses already by knocking off the or doing well against the Buccaneers defense and then beating the Chargers. So I have faith in this Cowboys defense despite a tough matchup. I do want to go back to Russell Wilson once again this week. It's a tight spread, high total, like you said, underwhelming last week despite a good start. So I'm okay going back, and I think that he has the most logical stacking partners here. So to me, it's kind of those four guys, Mahomes, Kyler, Dak, and then Russell Wilson. I think those are the four guys I'm focusing on this week. Still trying to sort out how I want to rank them, but I think those will be the four guys I focus on most.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, Mahomes, look, you know, obviously on any given week could throw, I mean, and you would expect one of these weeks Mahomes right. to, like, have a huge 400-yard game and five touchdowns. Okay, over to running back. Derrick Henry should lead the way. He's been fantastic at the start of the season. 10,200 this week, and man, he's got the Jets. So this is a high price to pay. We'll see where Dalvin Cook is for this week. Right now, he's at 9,500. Alvin Kamara of the Saints is 9,000. Najee Harris off the big PPR day is 8,200. We've got Nick Chubb at 8. And we've got DeAndre Swift creeping up here, 7,700 going up against the Chicago Bears. And, you know, naturally with no Christian McCaffrey to use this week, we got to look at some other options. Who may they be?
Yeah, I think that Dalvin or whoever plays running back for the Vikings will be a key play for me this week, Craig, because they're in that match with the Browns. I love that game from a DFS perspective. Don't want to use either quarterback, but this game is really fun because it's a tight spread, high total, neither defense elite, and both offenses can score points. So whether it's Dalvin or Alexander Mattison, I don't care. I will use that guy heavily this week. In the mid-range, I like Aaron Jones a lot. Aaron Jones down at $7,400 facing the Steelers. It's not a good matchup, but like his role is too good for his salary to be this low. So I think he's tremendous at $7,400 versus the Steelers, that red zone role. Hard to pass up. Antonio Gibson pretty good in that same range as well. As far as the value plays, Chuba Hubbard, I think, does grade out well in place of Christian McCaffrey. $6,300 facing the Cowboys. Like both sides of that game from an offensive perspective, I think it should be pretty high scoring. And Hubbard had a great role after McCaffrey got hurt last week. Wasn't super effective, but he had a good role. That's what I care more about than effectiveness, is the role you get. A lot of red zone work for Chuba Hubbard, too. So to me, it's Dalvin Cook, if we get him at the top, and then Aaron Jones slash Antonio Gibson in the mid-range, and then at the bottom, Chuba Hubbard. Key guys in each tier, and guys I'm comfortable using pretty heavily this week.
Yeah, Hubbard, I mean, look, I loved him in college, and yeah, he's going to get his chance this week. And you wonder, by the way, if he does do well when McCaffrey comes back, if there's somewhat of a timeshare there. Of course, Royce Freeman, I guess, is the other guy there. Okay, Jim, wide receiver here. And boy, we have a new name at the top. It is Cooper Kupp. They basically have to price him this high after the start he's gotten off to with the Rams. He is at 8,600 this week. We have Tyreek Hill in Denver at 8,200, Devontae Adams coming off a great week. He is 8,100 as well. Stephon Diggs is 8,000. Tyler Lockett, 7,900. Justin Jefferson, 7,800. Also, DK Metcalf is 7,700 this week for Seattle. So, yeah, I have a feeling people are not going to want to pay this price on Cooper Kupp. This is a rare high price for him. In fact, I would guess that all the years that he's been with the Rams, I don't know that he would be this high.
No, I don't think he has either, but he's worth it. I think he's definitely worth it. That game is really attractive for stacking, so I do like Cooper Kupp. But Tyreek Hill, 82, that's pretty tough to turn down, given how much I like Mahomes. Hill has faced a lot of tough defenses recently, defenses that have focused on shutting him down. I'm not sure Philadelphia can do that. So I do like Tyreek Hill. Also love DK Metcalf. $7,700, great matchup against 49ers, beat up secondary, so I do like him. In the mid-range, give me Odell Beckham, $6,600. And facing the Vikings, a non-threatening defense, Odell had a great role last week. The Browns didn't throw much against the Bears, but still 9 targets for Odell. Good snap rate there. Now playing indoors, playing against a non-elite secondary in a game that I want to stack. Like, sign me up for as much Odell as I can possibly tolerate. A couple guys a bit below that I do like. Debo Samuel at 69, I do like. Cordell Patterson at 6,000 because he just gets you so much weird usage, which I enjoy quite a bit. Devontae Smith is $5,900. He stacks well. If you want to go Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, or Travis Kelce, run it back with Devontae Smith. He's kind of the one eagle I can tolerate using. So Devontae Smith, the obvious bring back there. And then finally, Brandon Ayuk, $5,700. I think that game is pretty fun. You could stack him with DK Metcalf. Did run a lot of routes last week, 3 red zone targets, didn't convert there, did have 1 touchdown, but also had one they should have had outside of that. So I think Ayuk, I'm back in there at $5,700, given the role increase he saw last week.
Yeah, Ayuk, you know, I mean, I don't know what was going on the first couple of weeks of the season, but he definitely was a lot more part of the game plan. Okay, let's wrap up with tight end. You mentioned Travis Kelce, and Kelce this week is priced at 8,200. We have George Kittle all the way down at 6,200 this week against Seattle. TJ Hockenson going to Chicago. He is 6,600. Mark Andrews, 6,500. Dallas Goedert of Philadelphia is 6,000. Boy, it is a rough go of it trying to figure out right now, Jim, who to play at tight end this week. I mean, Kelce, Kittle. I mean, I guess if Waller was on the slate, it would be him. My gosh, it's rough.
It's less rough if you just use Kelce. You know, it makes things a lot easier. So I think that Kelce is kind of the way I want to go for this week. Again, I like Mahomes a lot this week, so do think that Kelce is the most logical path. If you want to save a bit of salary, I think that we can go back to Tyler Higbee again at a touchdown last week. Did lead you to cramping, but not a worry here. Those are the first snaps he's missed all year. So Higbee gets me access to a great game I like. $5,900, like him. Also Logan Thomas at 57. No big games yet, but facing the Falcons defense, I think he can do well there. So to me, it's Kelce if I can get there. Otherwise, I think Higbee and Thomas are two guys with more middling salaries, but good roles on offenses I like this week. And I will take that savings at times. But if I can get to Kelce, I definitely would like to do so.
All right. There you go. Jim, have a great week. Appreciate you coming on the show as always. And looking forward to catching up with you next week. Enjoy the baseball postseason next week as well. We'll talk about that too.
I very much will. Believe me, Craig. I'm looking forward to it. We'll talk to you then.
All right, Jim Sannis. You can follow him on Twitter at Jim Sannis. All of his simulations, all of his work, not just, of course, in the NFL, all of his work over at numberfire.com. We'll take a quick timeout here on Fantasy Sports Today. Plenty more to come. We'll visit with Joe Pizzapia. We've got Fantasy Reality right here on Fantasy Sports Today. We're back in just 2 minutes, so make sure you stay on the grid. Don't go away.
Giving you your U.S. recommended daily allowance of the winning edge.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
Open wide.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Grid, the home of the winning edge, carrying on the fine tradition of sports gaming from all the way back to ancient Rome. But they never had a mobile app. So count your blessings, Sporto. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on this Friday. It is another football weekend ahead of us, which means Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, myself and Joe Pizzapia and Matt Stryker will be together as we get you ready for Fantasy Football Week 4. So to preview the show today, we bring in Joe Pizzapia, of course, from Fantasy Pros here on Sports Grid and the Fantasy Black Book. Happy Friday to you, Joe. Getting ready for another weekend here.
Happy Friday, my friend. Just a few days away from our Sunday football. We got a huge game Sunday night. Tom Brady's, I think, only has one team left to beat, right? It's the Patriots, and I would imagine that's probably coming down the pike somewhere around 11 o'clock. But, yeah, it's going to be a fun Sunday. A lot of injuries to get to and a lot of things going on that's going to affect a lot of fantasy teams, though.
Yeah, do not text Joe Pisapia Sunday during that game on Sunday night. There will be tears. There will be laughter. But and hopefully for Joe's Patriots, there will be a +7 cover. At least let's root for that. At least let's give Joe
all
that.
The feels, as the kids say. I'm going to have all the feels that
gonna,
night.
I think it's probably the highest rated regular season game in a long time, in my opinion. I don't know. Maybe I'll be wrong there. Okay, so look, we're through 3 weeks of the fantasy season. And I think that it's always fun to talk about teams. Are you 3-0? Are you 0-3? Are you 2-1? But I feel like, Joe, week four is sort of the pivotal season for people who are at the top and at the bottom. Like, you win this week, you improve to 4-0 in your fantasy football season. My gosh, like, you got a really good shot to make the playoffs. You go 0-4, I mean, that's pretty much it. So, I mean, for you this season and kind of from where you're at, are you feeling good about where things are at? Some of the early projections, some of the midway projections? Because for me, I'm feeling good, but I don't have that comfortable feeling just yet.
No, and I think what also happens typically is you start to get a sense of who you think teams are, and then usually week four or week five, there are bizarre things that come out of nowhere and just reorganize your brain and scramble it all together again. So that's always something that I'm looking forward to this week, and I know it's coming probably. But I think the other thing that's happening right now is also people's patience is growing thin with certain players. It's growing thin with guys like Robert Woods, guys like Allen Robinson, Robbie Anderson, all of which had really good seasons last year, all of which were earmarked for really good seasons this year. So this definitely feels like a moment where there's a fork in the road for those players in particular. And they are going to get sold off for pieces if indeed it doesn't happen this week. I am cautiously optimistic when it comes to Robbie Anderson this week, because if you look at what Carolina's done so far, you know, they haven't really been challenged. They're going to get challenged against Dallas. Dallas is going to throw the football. Dallas is going to be aggressive down the field. So I think in turn, you might see a little bit more Robbie Anderson in this game than you've seen, because when you're playing the Texans and you're playing the Jets, there's not a lot of challenge going on there. You can kind of just be conservative, pick your spots. And when you have a lead, just kind of sit on it. Robert Woods also, I think from a volume standpoint, we're going to finally see, are teams now going to just do what they can to stop Cooper Kupp? Can they even stop Cooper Kupp? And if so, is Robert Woods finally going to step up? I know a lot of people last week were very upset with that DeSean Jackson, 60-plus yard touchdown. And a lot of people who had Robert Woods in a lot of lineups were none too happy throwing things at televisions. But this is an important week for both of those guys in particular, for Robinson and a few other wide receivers who have gotten off to slow starts. And look, it's also another bad week for Tennessee Titans wide receivers as well.
Yeah, I mean, your favorite team, the Rams, I mean, throwing it to DeSean Jackson over and over again. He threw a pass, Stafford, to DeSean Jackson that he didn't even see the ball. He turned around and it just was gone. I mean, he would have had a second shot at that. So, I think it is concerning. My co-host Davis Maddock thinks it's time now for Woods to get his. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. Quarterback changes to me. Things get really freaky. I mean, Kupp is the highest priced wide receiver on FanDuel this week. I mean, it's just crazy. Okay, so to your point, the Tennessee Titans are not good in terms of a football team. They have a horrible defense, maybe the worst in the NFL or close to it. But for fantasy purposes, that's what we love, because we know that so many points are going to be scored. A.J. Brown went into the preseason as one of the, next great receivers potentially in the NFL. This team went out and got Julio Jones to put next to him. And as we sit here on Friday, let's be honest, we don't know if either of those guys are going to play on Friday. So what is going to happen here, Jago? Because in a one-week scenario, both in DFS and in season-long, they're playing against the Jets. Like this has got to be a week where I know Derrick Henry's probably going to go off, but let's be honest. I mean, Tannehill loves to throw the ball. So who is going to get the targets? Who are the receivers to have this week on that team?
Well, somebody has to catch the ball. I mean, they're not going to just run the football with Derrick Henry 50 times. Although, if they run it 30, it would not be shocking in this game, that's for sure. But it's hard not to think that with both of those wide receivers out, that Nick Westbrook, Akinye, is going to actually get an opportunity to catch a few balls. Now, what's the upside? It's probably limited, one would think, but he did look good this past week catching the football, and he did catch every single target that was thrown at him. So I think when you're looking right now from a waiver wire season-long standpoint, you say, all right, well, can this guy get me 10 points? And if he basically does what he did last week, Yeah, he can, because that's all he's got to do, but there's certainly going to be potentially more target volume. You had four targets last week, so one would imagine at least six or seven probably would be going his way just in the pace of a normal game. Not that necessarily you have to push the ball downfield against the Jets. One would think you should win this game handily with the way Zach Wilson is just handing the ball to the other team. But right. at the same time, I think there's options out there on the waiver wire. If you haven't already picked up Tim Patrick or somebody like that, those guys I think are in a much better position. So if you did, let's say you had Patrick on your bench already and you picked up West, then I think I would still be starting Patrick in this matchup against Baltimore, a team that's given up a lot of yards through the air and has really struggled. And with KJ Hamler out, there's again more targets available now for him and Sutton alike. So I think when it comes to the Titans right now, you know, having Julio and AJ Brown both out, you have to imagine it's going to be more conservative game plan. And this is kind of scary because you mentioned that defense isn't very good. I don't know if this is when the Jets shock the world and get a W. Probably not. But I think what you do is you just trust in Derrick Henry, and that's why you see Derrick Henry's price so high in DFS this week. And Westbrook, ironically, too, if you go look at DraftKings, he is under 4K. I think he's 38 or 3,500. That's a great lineup builder that actually allows you to get Derrick Henry, who is at the top of the charts. So it's a guy like that that is a good free square, as we like to call them. But you have to understand there's a limited upside as well, most likely.
Let's go to an interesting game here and in my neck of the woods here. Miami and Indianapolis. Now, you have familiarity, obviously, with Jacoby Brissett. You've watched him play very unimpressive in his first week. And gutty in bringing Miami back in that game against the Raiders, for sure. But 4 yards per pass. On the other side of the field for Indianapolis, Joe, 0-3. It appears to me, I mean, is Jonathan Taylor the only player, not on the Colts, is Jonathan Taylor the only player in this game that you would even start this week? I mean, I can't believe we're saying that 3 weeks into the season with Gaskin and Waddle and Devontae Parker and Will Fuller and Pittman and all these great names going into the year. But at least you have to be thinking about this in a 12-15 team league. When you're putting those guys in the lineup this week, you're like, oh, gosh, I'm hoping for the best. I'm just not getting it yet.
No, and this was my concern after the Carson Wentz, you know, COVID issue and then obviously the issue with the surgery of the feet. There's just not enough reps, not enough rhythm in the offense to get off to a good start. It wouldn't shock me as the season goes on, the Colts offense gets a little better as health gets better and as they have more time together. But that's crucial time when you're preparing. And even though he knew the offense and it's a Frank Reich offense, it's something he was familiar with. At the same time, I think you have to go back and have to understand that it's still a different personnel. And the personnel takes time to gel together and all the timing of that. I think Nyheim Hines in PPR leagues is a flex option this week. He's gotten a fair amount of play in this offense. And I think that you kind of get that feeling that he is a safe play. You're not going to take Taylor out. Pittman, I really don't want to start. If you have to, I understand why. But on the flip side of this game, too, with Miami, I will say this. Brissett played courageously, I think, last week. He took some shots in that game against the Las Vegas Raiders. So I want to give him a lot of credit. I also want to bring attention to the number of targets that Jalen Waddle got in that game. Now, granted, the yardage total wasn't huge, but 13 targets and he caught 12 of them? Yeah. That is an enormous number. If you're in PPR, just that alone is fantastic. Like, you'll take that. Jalen Waddle's incredibly talented. He's one of my favorite guys in there. It would not shock me again if this offense plays a little bit better this week, too. And the Indianapolis Colts defense is struggling a little bit. I don't think they're completely healthy. And as much talent as they have, you know, when your big guys aren't 100%, they're still going out there, it shows. So I think right now when you look at Darius Leonard, who's not 100%, it shows a little bit in what you're seeing the Colts struggling with at times. And right now, you're right, in terms of fantasy, I think it's Fuller, I think it's Waddle, and I think on the other side, it's Hines that you feel pretty good about and Jonathan Taylor. But outside of that, there's a lot more questions and answers right now.
Yeah, it's a rough game to have to choose, fantasy options from that game. And certainly, look, before the season, a lot of those names sounded great. And maybe they will be. You're right. Maybe Waddle ends up, turning it up a little bit. One last thing here, and it's a topic we talked about a ton on the show. I'm making the case, and again, barring injury, that Mike Williams of the Chargers appears to me kind of like DK Metcalf, what he was last year in Seattle, where and not the same player, by the way, physically or anything, but taking that next step. Joe, do you think that if he is healthy, and that's obviously a huge if he is healthy, is Williams going to like vault into our first, second round conversation in terms of receiver? He has been unstoppable thus far.
Well, I got to tell you, for the rest of the season, I've already put him in the top 12. And I think you have to based on how Herbert's played as well. So as good as Williams has been, Williams was the talent that I know if a lot of you are like me out there and you've rostered Williams over the years, it was nothing but frustration because you saw the glimpses of it. You saw how good he was in the red zone. You saw how difficult it is to beat him for a jump ball. You know, he is that kind of physical big wide receiver. But what was lacking is the big plays, because Philip Rivers at that stage of his career had kind of been dialed back, plus the offensive line was terrible. Well, guess what? Now we fast forward to 2021. And I don't know how much you got to see of that Kansas City game, but Herbert was incredibly impressive. And not just the yardage totals, which, again, 3 weeks in a row have been there, but also the big plays in the big spots and finding those guys. And I think Mike Williams, if he does, he can't keep up quite this pace. This is insane right now. Yeah. But if you're right, if he just plays 16 games, it's going to be really hard to keep him out of second-round conversation. I don't think first round necessarily. I think there'll still be some concerns. But early second is the ceiling. Late second may be the floor if he keeps this up.
All right, Joe, thanks again for coming on. Good luck in flag football this weekend, and we'll see you on Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern. Thanks again for coming on.
I will be there.
All right, Joe Pisapia, the fantasy football expert turned flag football head coach. We'll be back with Fantasy or Reality in the Sports Grid 60, so stay on the grid. Don't go away.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't.
And wish you had.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If sports talk stations were cars, we'd be the one that you drove the wheels off of in high school, cruising for chicks and going to the game on Friday nights, then forgetting where you parked it till Saturday morning and you had to get your buddy to drive you around looking for it.
I think I see it, man.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. So, Davis, Dalvin Cook did practice limited basis today. Antonio Gibson for Washington also limited basis, but both are questionable going into the weekend. But I think it's fair to assume they're going to play. Can I make that assumption on Daryl Henderson, by the way, going into this weekend too? Can I do that or no?
It does look like Daryl Henderson is probably going to play. I mean, in general, when guys are able to get limited practices in, especially the Friday practice, you feel like that probably means they are trending towards playing. But, I mean, it would be great for DFS purposes to have Alexander Mattison, Sony Michel, and, you know, potentially Jarrett Patterson and or JD McKissick as options. I always love when there are more options at the running back position for cheaper salary.
Fair enough. All right, we'll cover that DFS action Sunday morning. For now, let's turn it over to Brett Levy, our producer. He's got today's Fantasy or Reality.
All right, Craig and Davis. Well, today we're starting over in the NBA. Because Joel Embiid had some interesting comments yesterday when talking about his, I guess, former teammate, we'll call him, Ben Simmons, calling it borderline disrespectful that he's leaving since the team was basically built around him. Other players complaining about superstar rules and whatnot. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Joel Embiid was right to call out Ben Simmons. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know, I don't know if it was right from like a moralistic perspective, but I would understand being very frustrated in Joel Embiid's seat, right? You know, he is clearly the best player on the team. The organization has asked him to play next to someone whose skill set does not complement him, right? You know, Ben Simmons, not a shooter. That's a problem. When your two best players are not really three-point shooters, it's just going to create a ton of problems. You know, we've seen Russell Westbrook go through this. We've seen Embiid go through this basically his entire career. You know, they have had him playing next to these bulky power forwards. You have a point guard who can't shoot. So, like, I just get that Joel Embiid is frustrated. He wants to win an NBA championship. He is basically the best defensive player in the NBA. He's a phenomenal offensive player. He has fixed the holes in his game. Like, Joel Embiid shoots a little bit of three-pointers. He really did a good job limiting the turnovers this last season. And he looks at Ben Simmons and he goes, okay, well, like, you should limit the turnovers. You should be able to shoot. You should be able to score. You should be able to make your free throws. And Simmons is not improving at any of those things. He's getting worse. You know, every single year, it feels like Simmons is basically the same player that we saw at LSU. And, you know, if I might remind you, didn't even make the tournament, right? But number one overall pick in the NBA draft, didn't even make March Madness when Ben Simmons was at LSU. So if Ben Simmons could take 3 three-pointers a game, make 31% of them, then sure, then I think maybe his efforts would be warranted. But I, you know what, I'm going to side with Embiid here, and I'm going to say that I'm actually with Joel. I do think that this is a reality. It's fine to me that Embiid called him out, because I can just imagine how frustrated he has to be playing next to Ben.
Right, so it's a two-part answer for me. First of all, the difference between the NBA and some of the other major sports is the fraternity is a lot smaller. So I'm going to say that he was not right within his own fraternity to call his own teammate out, just because in theory, you're supposed to be backing the guys in the, you know, players union and things of that nature. And so he basically took a huge shot at Ben Simmons. And, you know, how many players are even in the NBA? You know, 30 teams, 10, 12 guys a team, essentially 400 guys. This isn't like there's thousands of players in the NFL and in Major League Baseball as well. So I think from that standpoint, he was wrong, because you got to be, you know, on this. Everyone in the NBA is essentially on the same team. They're a union. But here is why it is sort of a reality for me, because we want our athletes to be honest. And then when they're honest, we want to rip them. And that's not right either. So I'm going to say reality that Embiid should be able to say whatever he wants, and we shouldn't criticize, because we're just looking for truth. We're looking for real statements from any coach, any player, and he gave one. And then here we are saying, oh, he shouldn't have done it. So from that perspective, I think it's a reality. But in general, I would say calling your own guys out in the NBA is probably not something they should do, because, again, the likelihood is you're going to face them again. You're going to see them again. But it is fun to think that there's going to be a nice rivalry going on, because now they have no choice but to trade him. So I will say reality. He was right to be honest and right to speak his mind. But it is not a good look when you're calling out somebody in your own frat.
All right. Our next question was going over to the baseball diamond. Yankees and Mariners are what we're discussing here. The AL wild card race has come down to the wire. Yankees look like they're in. So who's the other team? Craig, we'll start with you. The Yankees and Mariners will win the AL wild cards. Is this a fantasy or reality?
This is going to be a reality for me. And Seattle is by far the worst team amongst all these teams that are fighting for the playoff spot. Boston is better. The Yankees are better. The Toronto Blue Jays are better. I could make the case the Oakland A's have been better than Seattle this season. Seattle's run differential is like so far in the negative. They've just caught fire late in the season. They kind of hung around. They don't have any stars. They don't have great pitching. They've won a ton of one-run games. And when you are that lucky in Major League Baseball to win 70% of your one-run games, you're going to the playoffs. Next year, Seattle's going to take a massive step back. You can't win this much in one-run games 2 years in a row. It doesn't happen. But this is what we would call, and I know it's cliche, Davis, but this is kind of a team of destiny. Now, I don't know if they get beyond this wild card game, and that's got to be a heck of a task for Seattle to go to New York and beat Gerrit Cole and the Yankees on Tuesday of next week. Like, I just don't see that happening. I mean, I guess you never know, but I think this is a reality. I think Seattle beats out Toronto, and I think they edge in over Boston because it's like a story. And these stories usually come true, these nice Cinderella stories. So I'll say reality.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that you are, well, man, I don't know. Like, it feels like the Red Sox should get in. On balance, it does feel like the Red Sox should get in. It feels like they are a better team. But then again, this is the rotation that the Boston Red Sox have brought in to their end of season. Nick Pivetta, I mean, how is Nick Pivetta still pitching? I've been literally waiting for Nick Pivetta to have like a 12 earned run game the entire season. Nate Eovaldi, right? Nate Eovaldi. Craig, you're familiar with Nate Eovaldi from his time at the Miami Marlins. Very, very average pitcher. Chris Sale, good. Glad he got back. Good for him. Eddie Rodriguez, same thing. I mean, just like, so I kind of want the Boston Red Sox to get punished for not having a better rotation. And also, I want them to be punished. Remember, their big move at the deadline was adding Kyle Schwarber, who's like fine. Like, that's, you know, that's a fine addition or whatever. But the Blue Jays really went for it. They added starting pitching. They added a couple guys to their lineup, you know, a couple depth options. And that's what I like to see. I like to see teams rewarded for spending money and committing to their roster and committing to their players. It's why when the Dodgers, and of course the Dodgers have more money than God, so like, what are they really doing? Adding Scherzer and Trey Turner. But if I was a Dodgers fan, I'd be like, heck yeah, like, let's do this. Get me the best players in baseball. Get me Cy Young candidates. Get me guys who can win MVP. Like, what? Why do I want to root for a team? Like, if the Boston Red Sox try to cry poor, you can laugh in their faces because they are owned by one of the largest financial groups in the entire world. The Red Sox could afford to add whatever player they wanted, and they didn't. And the Mariners are a much better story because they, well, I don't know. But then on the same hand, they're playing the service time game with Kelenic, which I don't love. Like, that's my least favorite thing about baseball. So I want the Blue Jays to get in just for the narrative. But, well, I want the Blue Jays to get in, but I can't have Lester
win the
AL MVP. I'm all over the place. You know what? Yankees and Mariners get in. Reality. And the Blue Jays and the Red Sox are on the outside. All that really matters to me is that the Red Sox don't make it.
Okay, me too.
All right. Our last question. Yesterday, the Super Bowl 56 halftime show was announced. Kendrick Lamar, Eminem, Dr. Dre, Mary J. Blige, and Snoop Dogg will all perform. As we get closer, I'm sure more people will be announced as well. Obviously, this is in LA, so a lot of these people are California-based artists. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. 2022 will be the best Super Bowl halftime show yet, because I guess they could always top it in the future. But is this a fantasy or reality?
You know, I am not a big Eminem guy in general. Maybe I think I was when I was like 13. Now I do really like Kendrick Lamar, big Kendrick Lamar fan. Probably like Dr. Dre when I was like 13 too. For me, the coolest halftime for me was when Travis Scott did the halftime show. Which is like, I don't know, Travis Scott's kind of normie, kind of very mainstream, but I do really like, of course, the Super Bowl halftime is going to be mainstream, but I'm a big Travis Scott guy. So for me, just seeing someone that I like, seeing someone that I've seen in concert, that was the coolest for me. And I also feel like, other than Kendrick Lamar, most of these other people are like way over the hill. Like I can't remember the last time I was excited about a Snoop Dogg song coming out or about an Eminem anything coming out. Like, everything Eminem has done for the last 10 years has been terrible and very cringeworthy. So I'm gonna sell this. I'm gonna say this is a fantasy. For me, the Travis Scott halftime performance was still my favorite.
Yeah, I don't even have Travis Scott. I'm 48. I don't think that I even knew that he was even on a halftime show. But yeah, I fit this demographic here, Davis. So first of all, this is a fantasy. I've been to many Super Bowls, and I saw Prince at the Super Bowl. So naturally, that's going to be the best. But beyond that, this is good. This has me excited to see Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg at halftime. And I mean, mainstream? I don't know. This does not feel mainstream to me. Like, I'm waiting for them to put Bruce Springsteen or U2 up there again, Davis. Like, ugh, no one wants to see that. This feels a little edgy. Like, this feels like there's a chance that it could be interesting. So I'm very much excited. I really love Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. Those are the two that I'm primarily on here. I don't think it'll be the best yet because it's hard. I mean, I'm at the Super Bowl and there's Prince performing. Like, I don't know that this is going to beat that. But will it beat like the Black Eyed Peas, Davis? Yes. So yeah. I feel good about this. I will say fantasy because of Prince. The best one I'll say this. This will be the best halftime show that I've ever witnessed on TV. There you go. Best one that I've ever witnessed on TV, aside from the ones that I've seen in person, because they've all been pretty dull even in person outside of Prince. I mean, I don't know what to say about that one. It was just ridiculously good. So there you go. All right. So Travis Scott, I don't even know who he is. Okay. So we got to take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports Today. And then when we come back, we'll have the Sports Grid 60. As a reminder, Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, Fantasy Sports Today with myself, Joe Pizzapia, and Matt Stryker. I know Davis makes appearances also on Sunday morning, I believe, on Pro Football Today. So we'll just take 24 hours off. We'll be right back at it here on Sunday on FST. And you know what? We're going to drag Brett Levy in for the Sunday show, too. We can't give him a day off either. Sports Grid 60. Break.
Remember that state championship game you played in high school? Yeah.
We can't get over it either.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talk about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. All weekend gets started in just a few minutes. How is your weekend going to go? Let us know on Monday on social media, on Twitter, at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. We leave you with the Sports Grid 60. Let's see what's on the mind of Davis Matic.
All right, so this one goes out to my Oklahoma Sooners. We have Spencer Rattler, who is the quarterback. They play at Kansas State this week. People might remember that the Jalen Hurts Oklahoma Sooners lost at Kansas State. And you might say, Davis, you know, you've said on the show that actually the worst part of your year is when Oklahoma loses their first college football game. You know, that's when you tune out of college football. I actually think that I kind of want them to lose this game. I kind of want them to lose this game because I think that there are so many bad teams in college football this year that a one-loss Oklahoma team can get in. And I don't think that Spencer Rattler will either be benched or that Lincoln Riley won't change the offense unless they lose a game. Now, I hope that he learned a lesson from the West Virginia game. All their game plans are very Spencer Rattler specific, and they're not going to win games. So I'm kind of rooting for an Oklahoma, at least a close call this weekend against Kansas State.
I don't know, Brett, is Skylar Thompson starting this week for Kansas State? I would have to check that to see if that's possible. Okay. Yeah. If he starts, Davis, you may lose that one. If not, you're going to win. Sorry. Oklahoma's going to beat their backup. Okay, so in general, obviously we do shows that, you know, surround pregame activities, Sunday mornings, in-game lives. I appreciate those. I appreciate a good pregame show. Sunday night, I have zero interest in watching anyone talk about this game between the Bucs and Patriots, and I just want to enjoy it. Can I just enjoy the unbelievable circumstances behind Tom Brady going back to New England and nothing else with it? No betting, no fantasy, nothing. I have very little involvement. Just want to enjoy a Sunday night football game. Hopefully I'll do that this week. Thank you to James at LTN. Thank you, of course, to Ryan and Danny. And thank you to Brett Levy. For Davis Matic, I'm Craig Fish. Have a good weekend.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming.